Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield, made by you.
Begbies Trainer is an independent business rescue and recovery specialist. If your business has financial challenges requiring professional insights and solutions, Begbies Trainer can help. We provide advice designed to help people and companies deal successfully with debt and financial problems. And wherever possible, we will find the best solution that allows for active steps towards financial recovery. Begbies Trainer is an independent business rescue and recovery specialist. We're committed to providing a rapid and responsive service based on in-depth experience, professionalism and independent specialist expertise. Contact our Sheffield office on 0114 285 9500 or visit begbies-trainergroup.com.
We're open for business live.
Good morning. It's just after 9 o'clock on Friday, the 24th of July 2015. My name's Jamie Veitch. I'm a presenter for the next hour for Sheffield Live's business and social enterprise show, Business Live. We're broadcasting on 93.2 FM and through our internet live stream. This show will also be available as a podcast later from our website. As regular listeners know, this show is normally live. However, today's show has been recorded on Thursday, the 23rd of July. That's because I'm attending the NatWest SE 100 Insight event, focusing on leadership with purpose and bringing together an inspirational bunch of over 50 leading social enterprises from across the UK. We'll have interviews from that event next week on the 31st of July. But in today's show, we're bringing you some highlights from previous interviews. Before we turn to our interviews, some business news. A new patronage scheme has been launched by South Yorkshire Community Foundation to enable local businesses to support their communities. South Yorkshire's Community Foundation is a local charity founded in 1986 to raise funding to support local charitable organisations working to better their local communities. In that time, over £24 million has been raised and distributed by SYCF to create a better South Yorkshire. Now, the SY100 scheme has been launched to provide a simple and effective way for local businesses and individuals to make a positive difference on their own doorstep and to help continue the Foundation's early work. Julie Kenny, Chair and Chief Executive of the Rotherham-based electronic security manufacturer Pyronix, Businesswoman of the Year 2014 and a trustee of SYCF, has signed on as the founding SY100 member and ambassador to the scheme. She said that deep inequalities are present across South Yorkshire between different communities and people, and that if we aspire to make a positive change and narrow the gap between successful individuals and companies and seriously deprived communities, we must work together. She said that by joining SY100, you can demonstrate your commitment and make a contribution to your local communities. South Yorkshire's Community Foundation specialises in and has nearly 30 years of experience in reaching and supporting grassroots groups working on a local level. You can find out more about the new scheme at sycf.org.uk. Next week, Startup Britain are bringing their startup bus to Sheffield to celebrate the launch of the MADE Festival, the MADE Entrepreneurship Festival, coming up in October. But next week, come along, grab an innocent smoothie and hear all about the support available to help you start and to grow your new business. And hear all about MADE 2015, of course. Find out more at the MADE website, madefestival.com. And that's next week, 31st of July, 6pm till 8pm. The Small Business Saturday initiative is going to be back in 2015 for its third year. The event's already had a significant impact. Last year, about 16.5 million people got involved to support at least one local business for the initiative. And nearly two-thirds of people in the UK were aware of the campaign. The occasion's been brought across from the US, where it was created in 2010 by American Express. And now, in the UK, it enjoys cross-party support, although Shadow Business Secretary Chuck O'Munner has been driving the movement. Small Business Saturday will be back this year. It's taking place on Saturday the 5th of December. You can find out more at smallbusinesssaturdayuk.com. And don't forget, next week it's A Taste of China. If you're interested in doing business with China, then go along to A Taste of China, the event on the 28th of July, 5:15pm at the Octagon Centre, for anyone interested in doing business in China. The rapid development of China's economy continues to provide businesses in the UK and here in Sheffield with great opportunities. But if you don't have a knowledge of Chinese language or business cultures or indeed the market, don't be daunted. Come to this interactive event, meet with experts who are ready to help you overcome these obstacles. The event includes workshops from the Confucius Institute. You'll get the opportunity to explore Chinese business dining etiquette and Chinese business fitness. Hear about the Great Ambassadors China Scheme, which links UK organisations seeking to develop business opportunities in China with Chinese students who have a great knowledge of the Chinese language and culture. Taking place, Octagon Centre, next week, 28th July, 5:15 until 8:15. It's £15, and you can find out more at scci.org.uk. And don't forget, next week it's Sheffield Zoo, innovative, real-time community crowdfunding for business, social enterprise or community projects. We've heard from Penny Raven recently on this show, and the podcast, of course, is still available on the Sheffield Live website. But 29th of July, it is Sheffield Zoo. It's going to take place at the Print House, 21 to 23 North Church Street. Find out more on the Sheffield Zoo website or look up Sheffield Zoo on Facebook. And it's tramlines, of course, this weekend. Are you going along? Have a good time. Sounds like it's going to be a fantastic event once again. But if you're a talented young musician and you want to get into the music industry, what do you do? Well, young musicians and songwriters have been invited to apply for a new free course in Sheffield to help them set up their own business. The course My Music, My Business will be launched by a team of UK music industry experts at Sheffield Steelworks Recording Studios this September. School and college leavers keen to kickstart their careers in the music industry are being invited to apply and audition for 15 places. The course has been created by Music Business Training and it aims to give artists in all music genres the artistic development and business acumen they need to work for themselves and take their music to market. John Hart, the course director, said that the music industry has undergone seismic change in recent years and access to market is now easier than ever for aspiring artists. He said, though, it's difficult to grasp opportunities if you're a young person lacking core business skills and that the intensive one-year course run by the industry for the industry is tailor-made to give young people the essential skills in business and in e-commerce that they need to promote and sell their music. The course is being run on 2 days a week, Fridays and Saturdays, for 36 weeks at the Steelworks Studios. Take a look at musicbusinesstraining.co.uk/my-music-my-business. Or you can get in touch with them on 01 332 793 497. Now, as ever, we're always keen to hear from you about the business news or your views, suggestions for interviews, nominate yourself. Get in touch with this programme. Email jamie@sheffieldlive.org. Text 07904 272 200. Find us on Twitter at Sheffield Live or find me at Jamie Veitch on Twitter too. Whether you're starting or running a business, whether you're self-employed, we're keen to hear from you. So, turning now to our first interview highlight. And this is about the brand new crowdfunded bike trail that opened last week in Sheffield. Local riders, advocacy group Ride Sheffield, Sheffield City Council and local businesses all working together to make it happen. I went along to the opening last week and spoke with Mike Sanderson and Barry Dunn of Go Outdoors, Chris Healy and John Dallow of Sheffield City Council, Annie Last, professional mountain biker, Pat Horscroft, local rider, Cy Turner of Cotic Bikes and Steve P, professional mountain biker. We're going to play those interviews now. So, Mike Sanderson, thanks for joining me today.
No trouble.
So, we're here at the opening. Why did Go Outdoors get involved in the trail?
Well, basically, it came about with Ride Sheffield doing the crowdfunding to do this project. Myself and a few of the other guys at Go Outdoors, a lot of keen cyclists at Go Outdoors, were out riding our bikes and we'd all chipped in £10, £20, whatever we could do. We were talking about, we're actually very close to here riding our bikes and we were like, oh, wouldn't it be great to kind of get the trail up and running and I wonder how long it'll be, all those kind of questions. And then we just kind of came to the conclusion of, you know, would Go be interested? And we kind of pitched it to the bosses and said, you know, what a wonderful idea it is, and the other opportunities within the woodland with horse riding, and there's potential for a campsite and bouldering and other things like that. So it was kind of like, you know, that's where it came about, really. So
you pitched it to the bosses. Were you pushing us an open door, or did you have to do a little bit of convincing? You were all obviously convinced yourselves.
Yeah, I think that basically once the Ride Sheffield guys and then also John Dallow from the Sheffield County Sheffield Council kind of showed them the plans and what was going to happen and what other potential prospects could be in there. You know, it was an easy sell, to be fair, for Go. And say with Sheffield being the home of Go and Calibre, our own brand bikes being developed in and around this location, it makes perfect sense. So
the timing's nice with the launch of your own brand, Calibre bikes, and particularly a new full suspension bike as well.
Yeah, so we've just launched the Boss Nut, which has just got 10 out of 10 in NBR magazine, which is a real nice accolade to have. Those guys at NBR certainly know their stuff, but they don't give out 10 out of 10s very often. And we're really proud of that bike, and it's a perfect sort of bike to take on these trails and learn to ride, you know, faster and better. But by no means this trail is, you know, built for intermediate, more advanced and beginners as well.
And that's the beauty of this trail. The trail has something for everyone.
It really does, yeah. So it's kind of like, I would imagine if you had to grade it, it's a blue graded trail. But the guys that built it have really kind of used the land to the best advantage. So to roll it through and everything, there's no jumps that require you to do them or any drops or anything like that. But then as you kind of progress as a rider, that you'll be starting to ride it faster. Then everything becomes a little bit more challenging as things come to you quicker and more sort of challenging speed.
Well, here's to the launch of the trail and to the development of the next stage as well. Mike, thanks very much for joining me.
Thanks very much.
So, Barry, thanks for joining me, part of the Go Outdoors team. Yeah. What's your role here, Barry?
Yeah, I'm head of cycling.
And so cycling, Go Outdoors, natural fit with this project, of course.
It's a great fit, yeah.
Yeah, as we've heard from Mike.
Yeah, Go Outdoors, born and bred in Sheffield as well.
Yeah, indeed. So the funding was already doing really well, the crowdfunding.
Yes.
And loads of your team had put personally into that. And as we've heard from Mike, they talked to head office about supporting it. Now, how much did Go Outdoors have to put in to make this happen?
I think in all we've agreed to support the project for about 60,000. It's 20,000 per trail over 3 years.
And so that's to make it each of the three parts of the full trail happen.
Yeah, absolutely. And then there's the sort of the general maintenance and annual upkeep of the trail. Yeah. So we've agreed to fund it to 60,000.
And your commitment to that, obviously something like today, it's a fantastic platform for exposure and for talking about your bikes and showing people what your bikes are capable of as well. But it's important as well in terms of business and local community and cyclists working together. Is that something that Go Outdoors has always done, or is supporting something like this a new departure for
you?
Yeah,
I think so. With Go Outdoors, I think the entire team are you know, we've lots and lots of passionate cyclists in head office, and Go's always looking to sort of figure out how do you put back in the community or give back in the community. This isn't so much about kind of business and exposure. It's much more about this is a Sheffield project, first of its kind. It's a trail centre on a national park, and it's just a great opportunity and something really exciting to be part of. It probably doesn't make great business sense, but it's just something we're all passionate about. You know, the founder, John Graham, you know, he's always trying to give back to the local community. He's very involved in mountain rescue. He just loves this area. You know, the Peak District's kind of home to a lot of our team.
Fantastic. Well, thanks for making it happen, Barry. And, let's go and enjoy the trail.
Yeah, thanks very much.
Chris, John, thanks for joining me. Exciting day, exciting time for city, exciting time for cyclists here in Sheffield. Now, in a time of local authorities being subject to more and more pressures on budgets, this is a really innovative project in terms of how it's come together, how it's been funded. Tell me about your involvement in making it happen.
Well, I'll go first, but I won't want to take any credit for it because Mr. Dallow here has been far more involved than I have. But I think that the point that you raise is absolutely fundamental here. With the City Council facing, you know, unprecedented cuts, this partnership between the private sector and, if you like, the voluntary sector, crowdsource funding, is a fantastic example of how Sheffield people and Sheffield businesses can come to make a really great offer for mountain bikers within Lady Canning's plantation.
And a great offer for mountain bikers. Innovative partnership, as you say, Chris. John, the offer here supplements what we already have in Sheffield in terms of Parkwood Springs, which, yeah, I know you were heavily involved in making happen. Fantastic city centre resource. And then the natural resource outside of Sheffield, the Peak District, much of which was in the Sheffield city boundaries, and which is a huge draw for people in Sheffield. So this is all supplementary, additional, new, exciting. But interestingly, a good link between the city and the Peak District.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I think the thing around Lady Canning's, it is all about a link, really. It's, you know, we're lucky enough in Sheffield that we've got a third of the city in the Peak National Park. We've got these facilities elsewhere. To me, it's about incorporating into how you already use the city. You know, it's not about coming here as a destination, but it's hopping on your bike and riding out and using it to link into the natural resources that are already out there. And I think, you know, I think that goes across the board, be it, you know, cycling on or off-road, walking, you know, running, climbing, or, you know, horse riding, and all the different activities and sports that happen in our, you know, our woodlands, our naturalistic spaces and our parks. And, yeah, I think it's just great that we've all managed to work together. You know, it's a new partnership, and it's been great to see us, you know, learn together. So, yeah.
Well, congratulations on making it happen. Chris, John, thanks for joining me.
Thank you.
You're welcome, thank you.
So I'm here with Annie Last. Annie, thanks for joining me today. You've just ridden the trail, first loop. How was it?
Oh, it was amazing, yeah. It's obviously first time down, and it was great. Really, really good trail, really fun, flowy, really good.
And as a competitive mountain biker at the highest level, what sort of benefit will you get from having this resource here in Sheffield?
Oh, massive. It's just on the edge of the city, so it's really accessible. But for me, it's just great to have really good trails close to the door that you can just come and train on. So for me, it's going to be a really good training venue for me to come in, do some technical training on, or some effort training. And with it being really a good mountain bike trail that's really specific to my races, so it'd be a great race replica as well.
So that specificity is fantastic for you for training, that's great, but the beauty is also that the trail is so open to all.
Yeah, exactly. It's the sort of trail where for all levels of riding you can get something out of it. You can ride it if you not if you're like a novice, not very confident, you can pick your way down. But also for people who've got amazing technical skills, they can really push it and get things as well. But also with it being so easily accessible from the roads and stuff, it's easy to come up and get onto it. And also it's got great links into other trails in the Peak District, so it's perfect.
Those linkages are great too, as we've heard from you and from John and from Chris earlier. Linking this trail with longer rides gives a more technical, a more demanding ride, a more interesting ride for you.
Yeah, exactly. It's you can either do it on your way out or on your way back, or use it in the middle of loops, and it really adds. You've got a lot of kind of basic bridleways are quite like flat and open in this area, so to be able to link in some of those with this great, like we said, fun technical trail is really good. It really adds to the riding or to the training.
And training, of course, is something that must figure hugely in your calendar.
Yeah.
so what's the current schedule in terms of training?
So at the minute we're in the middle of the race season.
Yeah.
So we just had a World Cup weekend before last, and then national championships, European World Cups, that sort of thing. So at the minute my training is that really specific stuff. So yeah, it's about coming out and getting the mountain bike trails and riding hard.
Annie, thanks very much for joining me, and all the best in the series.
Thank you very much.
Pat, you've just ridden the trail. What do you think of it?
It's absolutely fantastic. Absolutely flows like magic, much longer than, frankly, anybody could have expected in the land that we've got here. It's fast, it's interesting, it's technical, it's lovely. And it's you can be ridden by a beginner and be ridden by, as you've seen, Petey. So anybody can ride it. And I'm aiming to be the oldest person to ride it at 72 in August.
Well, congratulations. But maybe not for long. I'm sure
someone will bid that. Yeah. But no, I'm hoping it's a really good gateway to the peak, because the Peak District riding's quite hard, and for beginners it's very hard. So here they've got a more controlled environment. They can get into it, ride it slowly, bring the kids, enjoy it, have a really good fun. It's brilliant. Yeah.
Lovely.
Well
Thanks.
Done, Ride Sheffield.
Fantastic. Thanks, okay. Pat, for joining me.
Okay. Bye.
Joe, what do you think of the trail?
It's awesome. Yeah. I can't believe how well they've kind of utilised this whole bit of wood. It feels like it kind of goes on three times as long as it should do, which is a good thing. And I think it's good for kind of any abilities as well. I mean, it'll be perfect for beginners because you can kind of go any speed, but at the same time, for the good guys like Steve, Pete and Annie Last here today, they can kind of go their speed and enjoy it too. So, and I think it's the perfect link, finally, from the Peak District into kind of the urban Sheffield side of town now. And it's kind of, it's finally, link. Yeah, it's just bridged the gap now from out in the countryside into the city, so it's perfect, yeah. So.
And really lovely story of how it's been funded from individuals supporting the crowdfunding campaign, yeah. And business.
Yeah, yeah, because I think crowdfunding for trails like this, I think it's quite a new thing, but it's been perfect. I mean, the whole Sheffield. It's such a good outdoor community that they've all come together and managed to, you know, bring in £15,000, and with the help of Go Outdoors as well, it's cool. I think it kind of shows a lot about the community in Sheffield and how kind of strong it is at the moment. So yeah, it's good.
It certainly does, Joe. Thanks for joining me.
No worries. Cheers.
Si Turner, Cotic Bikes. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you.
So the crowdfunding here, it's all your fault.
Yeah, kind of. It was the idea came up at a meeting, just like how can we lay our hands on the money.
Yeah.
John from the council had said, you know, he was open to the trail, but obviously there was no funding available from that sort of point of view. And we thought, well, you know, maybe crowdfunding might be the way forward. And we hummed and hawed a little bit. And then one Friday, I rather high-handedly just decided to do it because I have access to the mailing list on Ride Sheffield. So we sent out the bank details and the PayPal account, and I sent it to all my press contacts and said, "Give you money." And the guy who was the treasurer at the time, on that Friday night, he just texted me saying, "My phone is going mental." Like, it was just PayPal, like £10, £20, £50, yep. £10, £20, £5. And it just that Friday night, I think we got over £1,000 on that first Friday
straight
night.
Away.
It was unbelievable. Yeah. So that was amazing, really. And yeah, it went from there.
It went from there, and it grew to about 15,000 in total.
Well,
crowdfunded.
Yeah, I mean, it went in steps. I mean, originally we thought we were going to need about £8,000 or £9,000 because we were going to volunteer build it. But then Parkwood opened on the other side of town, Parkwood Springs, and that got so much use and so much hammer that council landowners said, you know what, this can't be volunteer built. It's going to be. It's got to be professionally built. It's going to get absolutely, it's going to get used so much. So the guys from Bike Track stepped in, said, yeah, we'll build it, but it's £20,000. So then we had to go out again to everyone and say, you know, guys, you know, change of plan. This is this, that's that. We did fundraisers. We did all sorts of things. So anyway, in the end, we did raise the money. We raised, just from personal contributions, just all of those £5, £10, £15, £20 from local people all over the country, we raised over £8,000. Norton Mayfield Architects, local company, put in £5,000. Cotic put in £2,000. We have a thing where we put in, we contribute to local trail funding every year, and this year it was this. Avanti Conveyors, they put in £500, so it's like £7,500 from local businesses. And then, as Mike from Go Outdoors has probably explained, you know, they saw an opportunity because we had a plan for hopefully doing more. So they said, well, we'll come in to get you to the 20, but we'll also put in, we'll commit to, you know, supporting getting all the rest of the trails built as well. So
yeah,
it's been a real group effort. It's been absolutely amazing. But yeah, and then here we are today. We're on the new trail.
Here we are, new trail is open.
Yeah, and it's it's surpassed even my wildest expectations. Jordan, the guys at Bike Track, have done an amazing job.
Yep.
They really have. I mean, I've just been having the most fun riding down it today, but I'm going to be back up here at the weekend with my kids, the 7 and 9, and they're going to be absolutely loving it as well. It's just...
That's the thing. It's accessible for kids. It's accessible for all.
Well, this was this was the pitch we made from the very, very start. Is the whole thing is that, right, it's hard to progress on bikes in Sheffield. You've got the parks, you've got some brilliant access out into the peak. You can maybe do Houndkirk Moor. It's beautiful, but then you head off Jumbles Road, you go to Blackamoor. Yeah. It steps up in technical level quite quickly. So we wanted something on this side of the city that would link in with the parks and people coming out of the city, but also help people progress, help kids progress, so that when they do get a bit more confident, they can maybe go and do some of that stuff and go and enjoy some of the other riding that Sheffield's sort of rightly famous for. So.
Famous for indeed. And talking about fame and legendary bike manufacturer here in the city, or here on the edge of the city.
You're very kind. bike company in the city. Absolutely love it. Yeah.
Is it difficult being a British brand, or do people have an affinity with you because you're a British brand?
No, it's amazing being a British brand. I mean, particularly, people in the UK, the UK is a big mountain bike market, and people want to buy British brands. We do things, just slightly differently that make things a little bit better for UK riders, for UK conditions. They trust that our bikes are going to last, maybe, because we ride in the grit and in the rain and all of that kind of stuff. But particularly being associated with Sheffield, I mean, I moved up here a few years ago, and it's home. I absolutely love it. I absolutely love the scene here, and Sheffield just is world renowned for its mountain biking. It's with PT, with Annie, all the other bike brands that are based here, the things that go on. I mean, the scene is so strong, and it means something to come from Sheffield, and I couldn't be happier to be part of that.
Si, that's great. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you very much.
So I'm here with Steve Pete, multiple world champion. Steve, what do you think of the trail?
I'm over the moon. I mean, they've done an awesome job building the trail. We've just been doing a couple of laps now, and the very first lap that I did, I was just loving it, just up and down, over the bumps, in and out of the turns, and just pumping along. Almost a kilometre of trail where you just pump and don't have to pedal, really, so fun.
Pump, swoop, brilliant. Obviously really enjoyable for you and for riders of your calibre. We've also heard how accessible the trail is as well.
Oh, it's brilliant. We've got Pat here today. She's 71, I think, at the moment. And I've just watched her go down, pulling little wheelies, jumping over little bits, and actually showing the skills that she's learned from riding local trails in Sheffield over the years, just up and down, pumping. And there's also some little kids just rode down there, which I think little kids at that age, being able to ride a trail like this, I would have loved it if I had something like this at that age. So it'll bring their skills on no end.
It'll bring their skills and their enjoyment, and it just makes it so accessible for people, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely. You're straight into Lady Canning's here and straight into the trailhead. And it's just an awesome feature for this part of the city.
It is, and this comes after Parkwood Springs, which has been phenomenally successful, hugely popular in Sheffield as well.
Yeah, Parkwood was the first sort of thing we really did in this area, and it's been brilliant. Lots of kids ride there now, and people of all ages, to be honest. So it's just if we can expand and do more of this stuff throughout Sheffield, then
it's good for the city, it's good for the economy, it's good for health, well-being as well. But it's an interesting story of how this has happened, isn't it, with people funding it, putting their own hand in their own pocket to make it happen, and then local businesses get involved, council helping as well.
Yeah, it's been brilliant. Everyone's just rallied together, and it's just good to get the local community all together helping out, and now we've got an awesome trail that will be here for years to come. Job well done for everyone.
Absolutely. And what's next for you? You've famously been injured this year.
Yeah, I've had an ACL reconstruction about 3 or 4 months ago, so I really have knocked myself out for this season. So I don't know. Probably not get to race before the end of this season, but I've got a couple of trips coming up. I'm off to Iceland and Norway doing a couple of different field trips, so still keeping busy.
Keeping busy, keeping
while doing the rehab.
Yeah, getting fitter. Yeah. All right, well, all the best with the recovery there, Steve. Thanks for joining us today.
No probs, cheers.
We're open for Business Live.
You're listening to Business Live on Sheffield Live, broadcasting on 93.2 FM and sheffieldlive.org across Sheffield and the world. My name's Jamie Veitch. It's Friday the 24th of July. This is a special show, pre-recorded on Thursday, the 23rd of July, because I'm at an event taking place on the Friday. It's the NatWest SE100 Insight Event 2015, taking place in Edinburgh, focusing on leadership with purpose, with an inspirational bunch of social enterprises. So we'll be bringing you some interviews from the event next week on Friday, the 31st of July. But in the meantime, a few highlights from us and recent interviews. You've just heard an interview with Mike Sanderson and Barry Dunn of Go Outdoors, Chris Healy and John Dallow of Sheffield City Council, Annie Last, professional mountain biker, Steve Pete, mountain biker, Pat Horscroft, local rider, Joe from Steel City Media, and Cy Turner of Cotic Bikes. They were talking about the brand new Lady Cannings Trail, which opened last week. Now we're going to play a track of music. It's Tramlines this week. You can catch this band there, Payroll Union, playing at the Folk Forest on the Saturday. We're going to play one of their tracks now.
What did you leave on the door when you stepped out? Out in the winter, out of my charmed life, your young face still shines through those old eyes. The law is my profession, but now it's my mission. Now you're below in the muddy clay. Oh, I'll dress you like a bride every night and pray for your return. Brother's house, he was in a fitful way. He was suffering himself from pains in the head, and his wife, she was worried. She was oh so worried. I stepped in the house and I moved up the stairs. Every movement I made, it caused a shiver and a fear. Oh, a fear that I'd stepped into my own grave. The door was wide open and my brother lay on the bed. He'd stuck a lancet into his neck. Oh, the blood it rose to the ceiling. Mary Lamson, I dressed you for death. The love of our offspring still sleeping down there. And I'll lift all the tired weeping heads. Still young. I'd rather stop talking. I'd rather not tell you my name. So you know I loved a woman and God took her away. Now I'm driven to succeed in every single way. You know my wealth is increasing and I'm known to be great. I know how to intimidate and I know how to shame, but my sister reminds me of when I walked the nights and days singing a merry lancer. I dress you for death. They're tired, weeping heads.
Begbies Trainer is an independent business rescue and recovery specialist. If your business has financial challenges requiring professional insight and solutions, Begbies Trainer can help. We provide advice designed to help people and companies deal successfully with debt and financial problems. And wherever possible, we will find the best solution that allows for active steps towards financial recovery. Begbies Trainer is an independent business rescue and recovery specialist. We're committed to providing a rapid and responsive service based on in-depth experience, professionalism and independent specialist expertise. Contact our Sheffield office on 0114 285 9500 or visit begbies-trainergroup.com.
We're open for Business Live.
You're listening to Business Live on Sheffield Live with me, Jamie Veitch. We're broadcasting on 93.2 FM and from sheffieldlive.org across Sheffield and the world. This show is going out on Friday the 24th of July. Unlike normal, the show isn't live. We've recorded it on Thursday the 23rd of July because I'm attending the NatWest SE100 Leadership event. In fact, it's Leadership with Purpose. 50 social entrepreneurs, inspirational, exciting, innovative, are here. And I'm bringing you interviews with them for the show on Friday the 31st of July. So in today's show, we're mixing it up with a bunch of interviews that have already been on the show, but which you might not have heard before. So next up, property entrepreneurship and the business of property and home ownership. What's it all about? Well, we caught up with property entrepreneur Russell Short. Russell runs Property Partners and has launched Home Tea for a recent interview. We're going to play that interview with Russell now. So I'm joined now by Russell Short, founder director of Crooks-based Property Partners at Home Team. Russell, good morning. Thanks for joining me.
Good morning, Jamie. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. How about
good.
You?
Yeah, very well, thank you. Very well indeed.
Good, good. So you first moved to Sheffield to study urban regeneration in the city.
I did, yes. I actually moved up to Barnsley in my first year. I didn't do too well in that year, I have to admit. So I moved over to Sheffield and studied urban regeneration. Fantastic course run by Sheffield Hallam just across the road. Brilliant course and came out with a good degree at the back of it.
So what about your time at Sheffield then? Did you enjoy it? What made you stay here and make your home here?
Sheffield's just been an amazing place from start to finish. It's a really friendly place. We all know it as a bit of a village. Everybody seems to know each other. We were talking just before and there was a few people that we've got in association that we know. Since leaving university, I met my wife at the time and it's just been a good city to me. Can't see any reason why I'd want to leave.
It's got a huge retention rate in terms of students who come here.
wanted to stay.
I think it's the most in the UK, to be fair.
That's right. Okay, and you founded a couple of businesses, Property Partners and Home Team. Can you tell us a little bit about your businesses and your story about setting those up? Because it's an interesting story. First, before setting those up, you worked in varied careers, call centre, finance, recruitment. What led you to the decision to set up your own business?
To be honest, I had a few jobs that, like you say, call centre, etc. I then went to work for a company called Smart Engine, run by a chap called Matthew Smith, a real entrepreneur. He'd set up various businesses. He kind of showed me how to set up a business, how to run a business. And funnily enough, I'd gone away climbing up into northern Spain, and it was just a wake-up call. It literally was a light bulb moment where I thought, well, I've earned a lot of money for other companies. It's about time I stood on my own 2 feet and launched my own business. I have to be honest, at the time, I didn't really know what I was going to do. So I knew it was going to be property. But I didn't know how to do it. I didn't know how to go about it. But anyway, left Smart Engine. Within 2 or 3 weeks, I started looking around for properties that I could potentially buy and refurbish. I didn't really have any money. So what I did, in the end, we found a property in Dinnington. Very, very cheap. Very cheap. And I bought it with 2 credit cards. And that's literally how I got started. I sold my Audi, which was my car at the time. I used that money to refurb the property. And then I managed to sell it with a profit. And that is literally how I got started.
So this was something, you put your skin in the game, if you like. You took the risk with your own money from selling your car and borrowed money as well. And obviously you were in the right place at the right time. Now, that's not saying, oh, it's all down to luck. There's a very good quote, isn't there, about the harder I work, the luckier I get. But it was, obviously, the right deal. You were able to buy something as a do-upper. You were able to do it up. You were able to make money on it. Now, is it always that easy?
Absolutely not, no. during that period, okay, so we had a few good deals and back-to-back, but then we did have a few problem properties where we didn't actually make any money. We've lost money on several property deals. So you're right, we've had an element of luck, and luckily we got myself to a stage where we could afford to probably take a few more risks and, you know, afford to just iron out those kind of losses. But generally speaking, we've always made a profit during that period. And, you know, I started off as a one-man band. Now I've got 10 people working for me and various subcontractors that all work for us. But, yeah, probably one of the worst deals I ever made. I bought an off-plan apartment in Bulgaria. I thought it was going to be a safe deal, and I lost £30,000 on it. You know, you don't want to be doing that every day.
You do not want to be doing that every day, no. But overall, you've generally increased your portfolio. You have a large portfolio now, and you've obviously learned from the deals that didn't go so well, and to create a positive asset class, a positive portfolio for yourself. Now, what about the property collapse since 2008? How's that affected businesses such as yours?
Well, to be perfectly honest, when you're as a landlord, there's always a rental market there. People need to rent property. The private rented sector is, you know, it's a big part of the housing market in the UK. So it didn't, on the rental side of the business, it didn't have a huge negative impact because our properties were still being let, our tenants were still paying the rent. Admittedly, defaults in rent did increase because people were struggling a little bit to meet their rental demands. However, having said that, at the time, we did have a couple of other companies. We had a mortgage company, which we had to close down pretty sharpish. We also had an investment company that we sold property deals on to other investors and other landlords. Because the mortgage market had closed, it just all the finance available for people who wanted to buy had disappeared literally overnight. So we had to cut the fold that company. So, you know, yes, we've managed to survive it, but it hasn't been an easy run.
No, quite. And as you say, you have to be able to react. You have to be flexible as well to the market conditions.
Yeah.
So you're now portfolio is now about a £6.5 million portfolio. Is that about right?
That's about right, yeah. Yeah.
And retaining about 55 properties at the moment.
That's about right, yeah. Yeah.
Now, would you say you're a good landlord?
Absolutely, absolutely. We, you know, we set up Property Partners to manage our own portfolio. We do all our own maintenance in-house, so if a house needs a refurbishment, a kitchen, bathroom, etc., we're always there on hand to do that. Minor repairs, we'll, you know, we'll obviously try and get those done as quickly as possible so that the tenants are happy. You know, and generally looking after the well-being of tenants. At the end of the day, we, as a landlord, you're providing a service, a product, if you like, for your tenants. If they're not happy, then they will move on. So it's in your best interest as a good landlord to provide them with a good product. Don't get me wrong, there are certain tenants who abuse that situation. So on the flip side, quite often we get houses that have been completely destroyed by tenants. They are few and far between, thank goodness. But that is a cost then to the landlord. But generally speaking, yes.
Indeed. And the flip side is there will be other landlords who do not take their responsibilities seriously, and that must be frustrating for you if the other landlords affect the reputation of the private landlord sector.
Absolutely. There's always been slum landlords. They've been in the press day in, day out, and they really bring down the reputation of most landlords. It's a very small sector of the marketplace, but it's the one that the media focus on. It's the one where we see the Panorama investigations, etc. We do come across them as an agency. People come to us saying they want their properties being let and managed. When we go to inspect them, they're not up to standard. They won't pass any of the safety checks, which are obviously built into the landlord's side of things. So yes, they do bring down the reputation. But I think as a whole, the private rented sector is actually pretty good, and the quality is always increasing. Government are always bringing in new regulation to further improve the property portfolios of many landlords, but arguably the slum landlord will always be there.
That's a tough one, isn't it, in terms of they affect everyone's quality of life and they affect the reputation of your business. What about self-regulation then? Can the property industry, can the private rental industry self-regulate as well? I know it does self-regulate, but can it self-regulate better to push out the slum landlords?
Well, absolutely. I mean, if you look at how regulation has come about, even over the past 10, 15 years, safety checks have become more regular. We've got, you know, Legionnaires tests coming in now. We've got all sorts of regulations. Property Ombudsman has also come on board in the past 12 months. So any self-respecting landlord or agency will be working within a framework that is set by the government. You could argue that in some areas they've perhaps gone a little bit too far. You know, they're putting a very big financial burden on a lot of landlords, but ultimately it's to improve the housing stock and improve the quality of life for tenants. However, there's still that black market. It's like any black market. That area is there. If you've got immigrants coming over and they can't find housing under, you know, local council schemes, they start turning to the black market, and that's where the slum landlord operates.
So the slum landlord is operating in a sort of unregulated space, cramming lots of people into...
Very much so, yeah.
Okay. And with your background in urban regeneration and the current current focus on affordable housing in terms of houses, whether they're available to rent or houses to buy for the future and for Britain's future needs, what's your view on house building? Are we doing enough in terms of house building? Would businesses such as yours benefit if there was more house building, if there was more stock? Should we be doing enough in Sheffield? Should we be doing more in Sheffield?
The house building market has been pretty much stagnant since the collapse of the financial markets in 2007 and 2008, and even at that time Gordon Brown was talking about how many properties were required to be built on a year by year basis. We weren't even achieving the targets in that at that point. Over over this period of what now 7-8 years, you know, we've had no house building going on pretty much. It's been a stagnant and dead market. So we've got a heck of a way to catch up and fill that void. Is it a good thing? Absolutely. You know, more housing stock comes in. What happens then is the quality of the traditional housing stock that's already there improves because you've got more competition in the marketplace. And hopefully then it drives out the slum landlords, because even people at the lower side of the equation can get onto the housing ladder, whether that be rentals or buy-in.
So it improves it for everybody.
Exactly, exactly.
And so you're running Home Team, you're running Property Partners, your businesses interrelate, you have a property portfolio and a rental business. Yep. And you're also looking at potentially franchising nationwide, is that right?
That's correct. I mean, that's very much on the Home Team side of the business. Yes. So Home Team is a heating installation company.
Yep.
Just to give you a very brief background, we've always done our own maintenance. The reason being is because we were fed up with subcontractors letting us down and letting our tenants down.
Yes. Yes.
You know, we had one guy who was invoicing us for jobs he wasn't even doing. So, you know, it was that kind of... We just didn't want that as part of our business. So we set up Home Team as a brand, as a company, and we went out into the, you know, public domain with it. And over the past few years, that's now developed into a good solid business, which we are now looking to replicate. We've actually got a new franchisee starting, a chap called Mark Gascoigne, who's going to be launching with us next month. We've got a whole new website coming out to support the franchise network, and yeah, it's looking good for the next few years.
Great stuff. Now, I wanted to ask you also about some tips for people running businesses, if we can get some benefit from your own experience. And as you say, you've been through challenges, you've been through ups and downs, you've learned from your own mistakes. And I think whatever the business that our listeners are in, they always want to know about how people we interview have faced challenges, because the business might be totally different, but it's the sort of the story of facing those challenges and dealing with them. So your top tips, things that you know now that you wish you'd known when you started.
Yeah, hindsight's a wonderful thing. Adaptability is certainly one thing. I've quite often set off with a business plan, a business idea, and very quickly I've realised that it's not going to work quite as I thought it would do. So you've got to be able to change in, you know, very rapidly to kind of go down a different avenue. Research, especially in the property market when you're looking to purchase, again, hold my hands up. The deals that I mentioned earlier perhaps didn't do quite enough research. It was a bit laxy-daisy, and that came back to bite me in the bum, so to speak. So research, adaptability, but believing in yourself, you know, believe in what you're doing, and just have a little bit of faith in yourself. And quite often people will say that's not a great idea or don't do this. Well, if you think it is a great idea, and as long as you can see it through and believe in yourself, then just keep going at it. But do be adaptable with it as well.
Be adaptable. Great stuff. Russell, thank you for those tips. I also want to ask you about going into business with people who you have a relationship outside of business with, because you're running a business with your former partner, I understand.
That's correct, yes. Dawn, she is one of the partners in Property Partners. She's been a partner in the business, obviously, while we've been married, but we did split up 5 years ago. Subsequently, over that time, we've been very amicable with each other. We've got two children that we obviously have to look after. So it's been an amicable split. We're still very good friends. And she's been a partner. So, yes, it's a balancing act. Having said that, Dawn is now just about to leave the business. She'll remain as a partner. But ultimately, she's got her own business interest that she's looking to focus on going forward. So, yeah.
And you mentioned at the start, when we talked about your light bulb moment,
mm-hmm.
You were on a climbing trip to Spain. You enjoyed climbing. Other hobbies include skiing, mountaineering.
Yeah.
we're in the right place here in Sheffield.
Absolutely. There's a massive climbing fraternity here. You only have to go down the Broadfield on a Friday or a Saturday evening, and they're absolutely all in there talking about their climbing do's and don'ts. So I'm not a climber per se. I'm not the purest form. I like the mountains. I like being out there. It's great. It gives you a sense of freedom, sense of space and perspective, you know. So all of a sudden you become this very insignificant person, and it gives you a bit of clarity. And that's where I got my light bulb moment, on the side of a mountain, freezing cold, snowing, thinking, how the heck am I going to get down this? it does, certainly. Mountaineering, skiing, anything in the mountains is great.
Superb. Great. Well, Russell Shores of Property Partners and Home Team, thanks very much for joining us on Business Live today. People can find out more about you. You do have a website?
We have a couple of websites. So Property Partners is all the W's .propertypartnersonline.co.uk, and Home Team, you can find us at www.hometeamuk.com.
Superb. Russell, thank you.
Fantastic. Thanks, Jamie.
We're open for Business Live.
You're listening to Business Live on Sheffield Live with me, Jamie Veitch. We're broadcasting on 93.2 FM and from sheffieldlive.org across Sheffield and the world. It's Friday the 24th of July. The show is pre-recorded on Thursday the 23rd of July because I'm attending the NatWest SE100 Insight Event 2015, Leadership with Purpose, meeting 50 inspirational social enterprises and bringing you some interviews for next week, Friday the 31st of July. So, she'll be back. Thanks for tuning in today. Don't go away now, because next up on Sheffield Live is our fantastic folk music programme. Thank goodness it's folk, so stay tuned for that. And if you're going to tram lines this weekend, then have a brilliant time. Enjoy it. We're going to play out now with another track of music by the Payroll Union ahead of their appearance at Tram Lines at the Folk Forest on Saturday, 2 o'clock. So enjoy this. It's Payroll Union. We'll be back next week. Thanks for tuning in.
he desires. He'll give us 100 years. We'll foster faithful, superstitious love. Toil and time, and history will tell your story well. So have it planted in our hearts. Well, in your guiding star, forging arts to demonstrate our wealth and all our grand achievement. But I can rest today, Missouri.